preaching series, Let Love Rise. Over the past month and a half, we have been exploring how the process of bread making connects with the spiritual preparation of Lent. This whole series has been inspired by Jesus' use of the image of bread to describe himself. In the Gospel of John, he called himself the bread of life. And at the Last Supper, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." It's so fitting that today we are bringing this Lenten series to a close with a service that brings both of these references together as well. This is a communion Sunday, so we will soon gather at the Lord's table to break bread and share the body of Christ. But before we do that, we're going to explore the passage from the Gospel of John, where Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life. Now, today is also Palm Sunday, so you might have been expecting to hear the familiar account of how Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey while crowds waved palm branches and greeted him as a king. That's the story we often hear at the beginning of Holy Week. We're going to keep that story in mind, but today we're going to look at another time in Jesus' ministry when he was surrounded by crowds of people. The passage we're going to read today comes right after the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, right after Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and fed a whole crowd of people. And what did that crowd do after they saw this amazing sign of Jesus' power? Well, they wanted to make Jesus their king. But Jesus had no intention of becoming an earthly king. So he slipped away. And when evening came, he walked across the Sea of Galilee to join his disciples who had rowed themselves to the other side in a boat. In case there was any question as to whether Jesus' power was earthly power or heavenly power, Jesus answered that question by walking on water. The next morning, the crowds went looking for Jesus, and when they found him, he realized they really didn't understand the miracle they had experienced the day before. The crowds wanted Jesus to fill their bellies again, but he wanted to feed their souls. So let's listen now for the word of God in John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So about a week and a half ago now, I think most of you know that I had oral surgery. I had a gum graft to build up the tissue that supports my bottom two front teeth. Not very exciting, I know. I had been putting off this surgery not because of the possible pain or discomfort of the procedure itself. I put it off because I have a fear of needles, which makes it a little complicated to get Novocaine into my mouth. I asked my oral surgeon if she could just knock me out somehow so that I didn't even know that Novocaine was happening, but unfortunately that wasn't possible with the procedure that I was to have. So I had to face my fears. I had to sit in that dental chair and let that Novocaine needle go into my mouth. But I have to tell you, the experience I had in that dental office was profoundly holy. Because my oral surgeon was the very embodiment of God's tender care. She knew I was afraid. She also knew she had to get that Novocaine into my mouth. She had to stick me with the needle four times. And each time she did, she said something beautiful. She said, "You are good. You are kind. You are strong. You can do this." Four jabs, four affirmations. She gave me what I needed to face my fears. That experience was so holy for me because it reminded me so much of what Jesus' ministry was about. So much of what Jesus did and taught was about giving the disciples what they needed to face their fears and anxieties, their grief and pain, their doubt and their despair. Over and over again, Jesus wanted his followers to see that their faith wasn't going to help them avoid the hard stuff in life, but their faith would help them get through it. Just look at what happened in the reading we heard today. The crowds of people who followed Jesus to Capernaum wanted to make him their king. But Jesus knew they didn't understand who he was. They didn't understand what he was offering them. When the crowds saw Jesus take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed 5,000 people, they were grateful for their full bellies. They thought this miracle was a sign that Jesus had come to take away their hunger. And they wanted Jesus to keep doing that. They wanted him to provide for them over and over again, just like God had provided manna for the Israelites in the wilderness. They saw Jesus as a solution to their worldly problems and their physical hunger. But what they didn't understand was that Jesus was offering them so much more. He was offering them nourishment of a different sort. Jesus wasn't promising to magically make their lives easier. What he was offering them was the strength and the sustenance they would need, not to avoid the hard stuff in life, but to get through it. And so he said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Friends, this is the amazing thing about our God. This is the amazing thing about Jesus. The bread of life gives us the strength and the sustenance we need to face our fears and anxieties, our grief and pain, our doubt and our despair. And goodness knows we need that strength and that sustenance these days, because the hard stuff of life is all around us. There is the heartbreak and anger following another senseless school shooting this week in Nashville. There is the shock and grief following the loss of lives and homes in the tornadoes that tore through the South and the Midwest. There is the frustration and hopelessness that comes from our country's political divisions. There is the conflict and instability that plagues our world. And then there are the personal struggles we each face. There are the hard things in our families, with our kids, at our jobs, within ourselves. The hard stuff of life is all around us. And so we need this reminder that Jesus is the bread of life. It is our faith in him that gives us the strength and the sustenance that we need, not to avoid the hard stuff and pretend it's not there, but to go straight through it. And friends, I think we need this reminder as we get ready to go through Holy Week, because Holy Week is not easy. There is the betrayal and desertion coming on Maundy Thursday. There is the pain and suffering coming on Good Friday. There's the loneliness and grief coming on Holy Saturday. Sometimes it's easier to avoid the hard stuff and skip right from Palm Sunday to Easter morning. But here's the thing. Jesus has given us what we need to get through this hard and holy week. Jesus has promised to be the bread of life for us. He has promised to strengthen us and sustain us so that we can face everything this week will bring. So here's the challenge and the opportunity for us this holy week. Let us go to the places of deepest doubt. Let us go to the places of darkest despair. Let us go to the places where we have to face our fears and anxieties, our grief and our pain. And let us trust that Jesus will meet us there. And he will say, "I am the bread of life. Come to me and never be hungry. Believe in me and never thirst." Friends, let us trust in the one who nourishes us in body, mind, and spirit. Our Jesus is the bread of life, broken for us this day. Thanks be to our God. Amen. And now, friends, we will sing our way into communion with our communion hymn, which is "Here, O My Lord, I See Thee Face to Face." This is a great opportunity, if you are home, to make sure that you have something that you can eat and drink so that you can be ready to join us at the Lord's table. Friends, let us lift our voices in song.